call the meeting to order. If everyone would stand, we'll have a moment of silence and then pledge to the flag. You have to sign. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, well, I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening. It's nice to see a good turnout for a busy time of year in the summer when everybody's has a lot of vacations and things to do, but we'll get right into it. We have time set aside for citizens' comments. Were there any residents who wish to address the board this evening? Okay, any others? All right, if you would come to the microphone and state your name and where you reside.
My name is Carol Lehman, and I live at 173 Frogtown Road, East Earl. And I just want to thank all you board members for what you do. I appreciate it. And if it's okay, would you mind if I pray for you tonight? Go ahead and spread. Father, I just want to thank you for this evening. Thank you for the beautiful days that we've been having. And Father, I just thank you so much for each one of the board members that take their time to work on the future for Eastern Lancaster County School District. And I just pray, I want to pray for the administration. I want to pray for the leadership for Dr. Hollister. Just thank you for all that they do. And Lord, I just pray as we're moving into a new school year that you would prepare the students for a good year. I pray for the teachers, for the school bus drivers, and for all the volunteers and everyone that takes part in the school district. Just let them all up to you, Lord, and just guide us tonight and guide this meeting, your agenda. I just pray that you keep their thoughts clear and help them to make wise decisions for the future of Eastern Lancaster County School District. Amen.
Thank you. We have the agenda up on the screens, I guess, so people can follow along. Do we have the special presentation this evening?
We do. Let me before we introduce Sarah, let me just introduce a few other special guests we have here this evening. Starting with Mark Schaefer. Mark, if you just want to stand up, can't be missed. Mark is the new athletic trainer. If you remember, Ed Yatsuka stepped up into a role, and Mark was hired. We approved Mark previously, but he was so interested in coming out to make sure he couldn't be here when we approved him. I asked if he could come by. I said, "Well, yeah, sure." So I really appreciate it. I mean, that's just a small sign of dedication that I really appreciate. So we're glad to have you, Mark. You're joining an excellent team, and we'll keep them on the field. That's the goal, right, Mark?
Thanks for coming out.
Also, this evening, we have a few of our new friends from Columbia Borough here. As you know, on the agenda, Mr. Tom Schrifter is there for approval, but he needed escorts. He couldn't find his way here on his own, so he called his wife. His better half, Angie. If you just want to give a little hi, and there's Angie. And two board members, the board president, Cole Knight, is here. And Cole, could you stand up, please, because we're going to see a lot more of you. Thank you. And another board member, Janet Schwartz, is here. Janet, please stand up, too. Thank you. We're thrilled to bring our friends from Columbia over. It's nice to start putting faces with names. Makes it a little more real. So thanks for making the trip across the county to visit with us this evening. And now, Sarah. Sarah, as you recall, was to present at the last board meeting, but a communication error on my part had her coming on a different night. So Sarah is going to talk to us this evening about the community outreach from the district attorney's office. So Sarah, it's all yours.
Thanks. Very kind of you to take the blame. I was going to say that we had our wires crossed, so.
But, I took it for us, Sarah. Don't let them know now.
So, as you see, I'm from the district attorney's office, and my title is community outreach coordinator, and basically I'm just making my way to all the school districts around the county. I think that year maybe my 10th or 11th stop, so I'm getting through. I've only been in the office 2 months. But basically what we're doing is focusing on crime prevention, and we want to connect with the schools on any existing crime prevention efforts or anything that you'd like to see done in the future. So that's pretty vague because there's a lot of different things we could cover, and there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. So we really would like to build relationships. So it sounds ambiguous, and that's by design, because we really do want the school districts to have part in how our programs are created or what that might look like. But it can be a range of things, like presentations or campaigns or however your school district thinks is important to get involved in that effort. So if I can leave with a way to connect with you and follow up and figure out how we might start to work on some of the details, that would be great for me, just to get the ball rolling. And I can answer any questions if you have any as well.
Sir, I have one.
Sure.
Is this a brand new concept, or is this modeled after some other cities that are doing this, or what are you following as a lead, or do you have a lead?
It is kind of new. I mean, this position is new for the district attorney's office. As far as we know, it's never been done here in Lancaster. It's not done really in the surrounding counties either. There are places that do it, but it's done in different ways. So not every district attorney's office will have a position. And we have been doing presentations as an office in the past, but we would like to see this become a little bit more consistent and coordinated, and that's why I'm brought on board. But I'm researching a lot of prevention efforts that have happened in different places as well. And like I said, if there's something that's already going on that you'd just like some more support in, we could do that as well.
Who would you envision being your contact person at the school district?
It's so far it is varied. So I have connected with superintendents, I've connected with directors of safety, directors of student services. I'm following up with whole boards as well. Each school district sort of does it differently, so I'm willing to do whatever would work best. Even if it was talking to guidance counselors or social workers or whatever would work best for you guys.
What would you envision, Dr. Hollister, for our school district?
I think all of the above. I mean, we have a lot of programs already. I know there is a growing concern about drug use in this community, actually drug trafficking in this community. Mindy is actually going to present at the time that we're doing our survey data this evening. I think in terms of helping write grants, programs for rehabilitation. I think there's a whole lot of it. Even some legal aspects of some of the programs we're trying to do, will the DA support or not support some of the things we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So to get some of that done ahead of time, it prevents problems on the tax side. So I think it's wonderful to have another resource, and I appreciate Sarah coming out. I think this is nice.
And a lot of the grants now are, as you know, focusing on collaboration and partnerships. We have a grant writer in our office as well, so I think that's a good resource. So looking at funding in terms of coming out of our office is a possibility as well. But everything we're offering is free, so there's no...
You didn't specifically, that I caught it, mention drugs. You said more than outreach on overall crime prevention, or is
all
it targeted?
All crime, but certainly drugs. I mean,
sure,
if you know anything about the DA, heroin's at the top of the list.
Right.
So, I mean, certainly that's something we would want to focus on as well, but whatever is important.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But there's an interesting slide that Mindy shared with me that she's going to show you this evening. It's a real item about heroin. And of course, all the crime that comes around drugs—it's not just drugs; it's all the things that could be
done. Right.
It's violence.
It's a leading cause of
right.
much of the crime.
So now we're thrilled, and the fact that we're partnering with Columbia Borough—that makes us a more attractive partner for grants and collaboration, because people are sort of getting two for one when they do that.
Yeah, I was wondering if I had to make two presentations or not.
Just
did I cover it? Good.
You know about you now. Certainly, Columbia Borough would like a visit as well, but
sure.
That would be well. When you're speaking to me, you're speaking to both schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping you also give the same presentation to the IU13 board. If you do, you'll have at least one member of every school district in Lancaster County sitting in the same room. There'll
right.
be a little more collaboration
right.
For a great program that I really
sure.
like what I hear from you.
Yeah, and I'm willing to do that, but we definitely did want to take the time to get specifically to each school. We felt that was really important. So both, yeah.
And I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I guess if we maybe think about like putting together a committee of the a subcommittee or something like the guidance and counselors and maybe the SRO.
The SROs are coming, and some of them have reached out, so.
Yeah, something like that. So just any other questions or comments?
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for coming out.
Thanks, Sarah.
Okay.
Our next presentation is.
It's tech.
Our next presentation is, as Dr. Hollister said, Nikki Bauman. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Good. Okay. As you know, every 2 years we participate in the CAES survey that the state does concerning alcohol and drug use and things such as that. And we do have our 2015 results, and so I've asked Mindy to share those with you as a board and representatives this evening. So, Mindy?
Hi. Please note that I just sort of interpret the data that was shared. I don't have a whole lot of background in the questions that were asked in the survey. But if you have questions throughout, please ask. I will do my best to answer them. It's a survey, as Nadine said, that is done every 2 years, and it surveys the youth in 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th grades to gather information about their knowledge, attitudes, behavior toward alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. And it's basically to help our school district and the community understand what the concerns are, and then hopefully put together some plans of action. So questions are asked across different domains, community, school, family, peer, and individual, and then that just helps us understand the strengths of the community and how many of the problems impact the students' readiness to learn. One thing that needs to be noted is that the survey results, they throw out any of the surveys that might possibly contain dishonest or exaggerated responses. So in 2015, they used 724 surveys to get the results from this. This slide shows the high prevalence and early initiation of drugs. This section covers alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, inhalants, which typically are the first drugs and most common drugs used by youth. This survey measures lifetime use and current use. Lifetime use is defined as students who have tried a substance at least once in their lifetime, which is usually a good indication of experimentation. And current use is students who have used a substance within the last 30 days, which is tended to think is more ongoing or more prevalent. So you can see from this slide that alcohol, it's hard to read, but it's alcohol, marijuana, and inhalants. And alcohol is it's right about 50% for 12th graders. The black dots on the graph is what the state average is. The small yellow triangles indicate what the national average is. And then the light blue is 2013 results, the medium blue is 2011 results, and the dark blue is 2015 results. This slide just shows the 30-day use in the same categories of alcohol, marijuana, and inhalants. So you can see a difference in the number of students who have tried those drugs one time or have used them within 30 days. This slide shows lifetime and 30-day use over cigarettes, smokeless tobacco, cigarettes, smokeless tobacco, and vaping. Vaping or e-cigarettes, that was a new question on the survey. That's the category all the way to the left. I'm sorry, your right.
prescription and over-the-counter drugs. The prescription drug most frequently used by LANCO students were narcotics or opiates, which are fall into the categories of Percocet, codeine, Vicodin, Oxycontin. 3.4% of all students indicated a lifetime use, and 5.1% of 12th graders indicated a lifetime use, which is an increase from of 2.8 in 2013.
Can you define that? Term lifetime use?
Lifetime use is use at least one time in their life.
Okay.
Students often believe these substances are safer than illicit drugs because they're prescribed by doctors and dispensed by a pharmacist. Prescription opiates account for 32% of drug overdoses, deaths in Pennsylvania in 2015, and recent studies show that once access to prescription opiates is limited, most abusers will turn to heroin or other illicit substances. The CDC reports that 3 out of 4 new heroin users have reported to abuse prescription opiates prior to using heroin. The next most frequently used substance was over-the-counter drugs, and that was cough syrup and cold medication. And 2.1% of students indicated lifetime use or have done this one time. This question was asked in a manner that that they used not when they were sick or feeling ill, but they used to get high. PACE survey also measures prevalence of the other drugs. They call it the other drug category, cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, and so forth. And just note that we tend to see these drugs tend to be used in upper grade levels. This is the graph that shows lifetime use. The first category is cocaine, the second area is crack, and the third part is methamphetamine. So our cocaine use has increased slightly in 12th grade. And again, this is lifetime use, one time, like just one time over the course of their lifetime. This slide shows the use of heroin, which is the first graph, hallucinogens, ecstasy or molly, and synthetic drugs. Our synthetic drug has increased. That's the second most frequently used other drug category, as you can see. This is the slide that Dr. Hollister had brought up. It's kind of difficult to see, but this is a map of the LANCO School District, and every dot on the map is where police or EMT had to be called for an overdose or crime related to heroin. So this is not information that came from the PACE survey, but I just wanted to share it with you because it's important to note that our students go to school here, they live in this community, and they may be some of the people that have had these dots on this map. And that it is common in this little small town.
Mindy, how far back does that go? Is that multiple years or a single year? You know?
I believe it's since 2013. Going back from the information on the PACE survey, it measures risky behavior related to substance abuse. So it talks about, it asks questions regarding binge drinking, driving after drinking alcohol, and driving after using marijuana. 2.7% of our students engaged in binge drinking in the past 2 weeks, and that's drinking 4 or more drinks in one setting, in like a 2-hour setting, I think the survey said. This was the exact same percentage as the 2013 survey. For seniors, driving after drinking alcohol and driving after using marijuana has increased since 2013. But remember that the overall use of alcohol and marijuana in grade 12 had increased from 2013 to 2015. So that might be some of the increase in the risk. Our students almost 50% of them said that they got it from family or religious celebration. 31.9% said the alcohol was provided by a parent or friend's parents. And the third most common source was that they took it without permission. Access to prescription drugs. The first category says that they took it from a family member living in their home. The second category measures says they took it from another relative not living in my home. The third area says they took it from somebody other, from somebody else. They took it from a friend or family member. They bought it from somebody is the second to last category. And the last category is that they ordered it off the internet. This measures students' willingness to use. The survey also measures school climate and safety. This slide measures commitment and involvement in school and the perceived importance of school. Remember those dots that you see? That is where the state level is. So notice that we're above the state level in the majority of these categories. So that's really good. And this slide basically just goes over that students who feel appreciated and rewarded for their involvement in school have reduced likelihood of involvement in drug use or problem behaviors. This is a positive school environment slide. The first area measures that there are lots of chances for students for their teachers to talk one-on-one with them. The second measures chances to be a part of classroom discussions or activities. The third area measures that they feel safe at school. And the last area is that my teachers say nice things and I work hard at school. And so you can see that almost all of those are above, all of them are above 60 and most of them are above 80 for the most recent school year. This slide talks about violence and drugs on school property. The important thing to note from this slide is that our numbers have continuously decreased, except at 10th and 12th grade, the drugs at school have increased, and violence, overall violence at school has increased. This survey also measures bullying. And this talks about the location of bullying. And on school property, it has the highest level of where it occurs. Which I find interesting because I think as school staff, we think that kids are bullied in all settings because they have access to social media. It doesn't just end at school. But so I found that slide, that data pretty interesting. The PAYS includes questions about social and emotional health. One question on the survey is regarding self-harm, and there are four questions that ask students about feelings. Sadness, hopelessness, and worthlessness. And all of those can be symptoms of depression. So this slide shows the first area that it measures is self-harm, cutting, scraping, purposely injuring themselves over the last 12 months. The second area shows students that have felt depressed or sad most days in the past 12 months. And that number I find to be very alarming, that a little over 30% of our 10th graders have felt sad most days. The third area that they measure, sometimes I think that life is not worth it. The fourth section is that I slide measures suicide risk. The first area talks about that they stop doing their usual activities. The second area is that they consider suicide. Third area is that they plan suicide. And they attempted suicide one or more times. And the last category is that they needed medical treatment for suicide attempts. The PACE survey also talks about overall risk and protective factors. Risk factors are known to predict increased likelihood of drug use, delinquency, school dropout, and violent behaviors among youth. Protective factors exert a positive influence and buffer against the negative influence on the risk, thus reducing the likelihood that adolescents will engage in problem behaviors. This information can be helpful for our school district in reducing risk or enhancing protections. So I've just listed the three highest risk factors overall, and the three highest protective factors. So the highest risk factor is that 41% of our students aren't committed to coming to school or aren't committed to learning. Parental attitudes favorable towards antisocial behavior, and their perceived risk of drug use. The lowest risk factor for our students is gang involvement, interactions with antisocial peers, and friends' use of drugs. The lowest protective factors are community rewards for pro-social involvement, and that's kind of an example of there are people in my neighborhood who are proud of me when I do something. School opportunities for pro-social involvement. And those questions were asked if there were opportunities to participate in meaningful and important activities at school. Teachers asked me specifically to work on projects. Students have a lot of chances to help decide things in class, like class activities or goals, or just that there's other activities at school or after school hours. And school rewards for pro-social involvement with a low risk factor. And that's basically that students feel that staff notice me and tell me I'm doing a good job when I do something. So I just listed some resources that we currently have at school for students. District-wide, we have a student assistance program. We have Red Ribbon Week. Provide substance abuse education. We have a school-based mental health counseling program for the school through Team Care. And each building has a positive school climate program. In our elementary schools, our school counselors teach classroom lessons to address peer pressure, healthy friendships and relationships, decision-making, short and long-term goal planning. They talk about tobacco and alcohol prevention and education for primary grades, and then do a little bit more in-depth prevention and education on drugs and alcohol for intermediate grades. School nurses also do classroom lessons at the elementary level, and our school counselor at each building has different student groups. Starting this school year, our student assistance program will be extended into our elementary schools, and we're hoping that our specialists will be able to provide some student groups at each level or at each building. At secondary, we have our substance abuse prevention education curriculum and health classes, which hits students in 7th grade, 8th grade, and 10th grade. This is their second step classroom curriculum lessons for 7th and 8th graders. And then we have student groups led by our school counselors and student groups led by our SAP specialist. And some community resources here. We have the Elanco Coalition. The Elanco Coalition is a group of community members who meets for a drug-free community. Cross Connection Ministries, Elanco Social Service Network, lots of local churches and youth groups. Team Care Behavioral Health Satellite Office is a mental health behavioral health service provider. And then we have a few AA, NA, and Al-Anon meetings held in our community. That's all I have.
Thank you.
comments. First of all, board members, those organizations have been tremendously helpful. You know I'm a fan of many of them, I've been involved directly in some of them. Even Ms. Tay's information, I'm ashamed to say or embarrassed to say, we've already given this information out even before you saw this to the Elanco Coalition. They were having a large meeting. They asked for it. They knew we had it. Because Jim Cox is one of the folks leading that. Jim would have been here years ago and conducted all this. We said, absolutely, here, take it. So no offense to the board, but we did some of that information. We've given to some of these groups already. Maybe two questions. I know it's data dense, all of that information, but give me two takeaways. One, what's the greatest concern that you see? Also, what's one of the better highlights or something positive that came out of the survey in your estimation?
The biggest concern I see is mental health. Our students are coming to school with all kinds of baggage, and by that I mean we have students in poverty, we have students who are dealing with parents' addictions, job loss, homelessness. I mean, they're just coming to school with a lot on their plate and not able to focus on learning and don't have the coping skills or the knowledge to help get them through their day-to-day. And then once they hit middle school or high school, that's when we're seeing them turn into experimentation and drug use. And, you know, they try something like smoking pot, and it feels good, and it makes them forget about not knowing where they're going to sleep tonight or if they're going to have enough food at home or the arguments that their parents might be getting into about money. So then they keep using marijuana or whatever they might find it to sort of self-medicate. But that's not any different anywhere else. That's just what we see here. And then a positive, we have a lot of supports in school and in the community. If students and families want help and want assistance, they can get it.
A couple of things, I guess. First of all, if we would be able to get this PowerPoint emailed to us, because we really can't read it, what's on here. Or at least I can't. That's my eyes, I guess. And also some of the board members that aren't here to really look at this data, because it would be to take the time to really look at it. It's very, very extensive, and I appreciate that, and pulling it all together. So that's great. So, any other questions?
I have one question. Based on what you expressed about 10th graders, and I was seeing those statistics too, you know, the risk for depression, and under the school resources, is there a reason why, like, substance abuse prevention education is 7th, 8th, and 10th, but then that second step lesson just 7th and 8th, and I see, like, I mean, I'm assuming that we have trained personnel trying to find the ones that are having trouble coping, but, you know, would there be something that could be done with that in 10th grade as well, since it seems to be such a difficult time for students? Or are we just counting on that to be picked up in general?
The second step program was piloted last year at the middle school, and we found success with that. It is also now officially being piloted at the elementary at Bluebaum, and we're looking to work with Matt and Eli to have it piloted at the high school as well. So we wanted to find a research-based program, which we did, and so, like I said, we piloted it at the middle school to make sure it was going to be effective we thought it was going to make a difference, and we did find that with this program. So we're going to keep moving it.
I think there's two other pieces of information that are important. We've had mandatory training for all of us for mandatory reporters. So any kind of abuse, we're obligated now. We can't just look away, educators, on all those things or think somebody else is dealing with it. If we, any one of us, sees that, we have to report it. We can't just assume someone else is. The second piece is we had mandatory suicide prevention reporting as well, training 3 hours. I think the teachers and support staff members, for that matter, are beginning to understand that it's not just the counseling department that's got to be involved in that. because it's not. In fact, English teachers are the ones who really turn up a lot because the kids are writing, and they start reading things in writing that the kids are willing to share in writing and not even share verbally. So we've had some success in helping some kids earlier because I think teachers are more alert and more aware of situations than they were even 2 years ago. By the way, Nadine is emailing you the PowerPoint as we speak, and we'll send the whole report to you as well.
Okay. I have a quick question. So as an early part of your presentation, you mentioned that somehow outliers are removed from the equation, whether you thought that someone had falsified information or was just outright lying. What's that process like? How do you determine who's being honest and who's not?
I don't have the answer to that.
Okay.
I took all of this information from our results, and there was just one sentence in this booklet that says that for dishonest responses that they felt were being dishonest or exaggerated, that's when they pulled the survey.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, and that survey didn't count towards any of the responses. So, but I don't know anything more than that.
Any other questions or comments? I guess the only other thing would be to see, like, over a several-year period, if our drug testing has had any impact. To be interested.
Yeah, that's always a tough question.
It's hard to quantify.
Well, because you don't know. It's that same old question: do DARE officers make a difference?
Right.
Well. There's no control group, so
sure.
You know what I'm saying? If we didn't put the drug testing in place, we might be worse off, but we might have been a lot more worse. You know what I mean? So
sure.
I think the drug testing program that we have in place still has value. I mean, I don't have data to back that up as I should, but I do think it gives not so much about finding kids. It still gives kids that excuse. I'm afraid I'll be tested. It's a tool in their tool belt to help deflect friends who are putting pressure on. It was never, and if you recall, it was never about trying to net kids to get them out. It was always more about giving kids an excuse that they could use with their friends to avoid getting into difficulty. I still think that occurs, but it's worth a conversation, particularly at high school, to continue to ask those questions. Because it is time-consuming, we are pulling kids out of class to do that testing. There's some expense to it, although it's very reasonable. So it's worth keeping on asking those questions.
The other thing that jumps out at me is, when the kids with the percentage that aren't motivated to go to school, and I was probably one of those too, but just how important extracurricular activities are in giving, some sense of reason why they would, get excited about coming to school. And, I got to do the work to be in that. I just think we shouldn't even call them extracurricular. I think it's so tied into the overall probably attitudes of the kids. That's the kind of thing that jumped out at me. Yes?
The last month we were discussing that app, that LiveSafe. I mean, I'm wondering if an application for it, they did mention it's not only for law enforcement, but also to have a contact to a guidance counselor or some resource that if a fellow student saw, something, and sometimes it's like, well, okay, you can go to the authorities or go to the counselor, but if you could text somebody, I mean, I realize that there'd be that risk of having things that are frivolous or aren't, but, it's another resource to look at that would give kids the opportunity to send that plea for help.
We actually have investigated some of those. We could bring that around again. We had a presentation last summer, and quite frankly, we were just doing too many other things. The administrator said no thanks. But it's worth revisiting.
Is that the format that they would be comfortable with? Where they may not verbally share.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks again. Okay, back to our agenda then. Yes, we have a personnel report to approve this evening. Hopefully everyone has had the opportunity to...
if I could interrupt.
Yes, that's good.
We do have somebody here who we hope you will say yes to this evening. And so I'd like to take a minute and have Kimberly Anderson introduce her.
Great.
So it's my pleasure to introduce to you Rhett Knox, new certified school nurse, Susan Wall. She is not new to Atlanta. She's actually been working as a health nurse at Blue Ball. Received her initial nursing from Lancaster General, her BSN from Alvernia, and her certified school nurse from Eastern Med. I think I remember all that correctly. So we're excited to have her join us out at Rhett Knox and to stay with the Atlanta team overall. So welcome, Susan.
Okay, welcome aboard. In a minute here. Any other?
We already talked about Tom.
We talked about Tom.
I'll just pick somebody out. Mark, can you give me a little bit of your background, sports, high school, college, where you went?
Sure.
If you can do it loud enough from there,
yeah,
you can
do
the mic.
Yeah.
The man wants a mic.
You're the lucky one I picked it.
They volunteers to come up with a mic.
I spent the last 2 years at Manham Central. And before that, I was 2 years in grad school at Temple University working with their football team, where I also went to undergrad. I graduated from Temple University in 2011 with my undergrad Bachelor of Science in Athletic Training, and then spent a year in the NFL with the New York Jets and did a one-year internship with them. So I'm originally from London.
Okay, thank you. And you take responsibility for some of the success of Temple's football?
Yes.
We'll get it to you.
Yeah, I was there through rebuilding with Al Bolden and then Capital.
That's great.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, then. Any other comments? Is there a motion to approve the personnel report?
So moved.
Seconded.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The personnel report is approved.
Congratulations. Welcome aboard.
Property and services, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I do have three action items for next Monday night. Two of them are our annual approval. The first is to authorize me to sign our non-public transportation contracts that we have with our various non-public schools in our school district, as well as some parents. As we have in previous years, this amount per student per day goes up based on the cost index based on the transportation formula. For next year, it's going up 0.7%. And the amount, total cost will fluctuate based on the number of students. They have more students, less students. But the cost per student per day is going up 0.7, which for next year would be $3.98. The second item is the approval of our bus drivers, both public and non-public, as well as the bus assistants. Since we contract our transportation, we're required to actually get the bus drivers and bus assistants approved. Please keep in mind that we do receive all the different background checks as necessary to ensure that they're appropriately able to drive. Any questions on those first two items? The third action item that I have for next Monday is the Blue Ball Elementary School parking lot project. Unfortunately, we do have one change order. For $12,375 for 45 cubic yards of rock removal at the price of $270 per cubic yard. This was all identified during the bidding process based on the per unit when we opened the bids. So that should be the only change order, I hope, Mr. Walsh. So we do need to approve that and authorize me to sign it. With that being said, hopefully you had a chance to go by the school and see the paving completed. As you know, we were kind of trying to get done before they paved the old road, and we don't have access. But with that that, I'd like to just turn over to Neil to kind of give a little update on what will happen next.
Basically, what Keith said is correct. We're kind of holding our breath a little bit, but the weather gave us a break. So they were able to make up time and switch some things around. And the important thing is there's a blacktop down there. So we're going to run into school time with some minor things. Most of it's going to be landscaping and seeding and some of the plantings that we have to do via the township code, which is okay with me because we want to do that stuff closer to fall anyway. We expect it to grow. So I know Kurt's ecstatic as well, Mr. Kasky, because he now has a lot that he can have open for his parents' night, which I believe is 24th. So, yeah, so if you don't know, we're gaining 41 spots.
I didn't get to see it. Some of it did drive past a week or two ago. I didn't see it since it was okay. Do they have? Were able to get the lines down too and everything?
Yep.
So that's all.
On demand, yeah.
Great.
We had two great contractors, Murray Construction Associates, and so as well as Kristen Excavating. So
did we have to haul? Did they have to haul the rock away, or did they?
Yeah.
That was included in that cost.
Lancaster County. If you don't have rock, you might be surprised.
At least we know we have. At least we know we have a good foundation.
Yeah. Just a proud compliment to listeners once again. I mean, I know that every once in a while they make their name here at a board meeting, and I was talking to the project manager from Murray, and he pretty much said when he mentioned listeners' name, all of a sudden the township was like, yeah, you know what? If the listener boys are doing it, they'll do it on time, on schedule. That's all he needed, and that's when we got to go because they were holding us up. Township told us up, but as soon as they mention us, they got a great reputation, and of course they do our snow removal as well. And you hear us talk about that. We're the cleanest spot in the county every year when we have a storm. So thank you to the listeners.
And all board spot grass too.
There you go. I didn't have that piece of information. Cliff Plant, Clay, and all I go back and get all the facts.
That ends my report.
Thank you. Any questions for the property and services? Okay, very well. Program committee, then.
I have two action items for next week. The first is the approval of affidavits of guardianship. It's that time of year, you know, those that are renewed regularly. And so you have a list of those, and so we'll need approval for that. And then the second action item is the approval of services for a contract with Linda McBell. That is a reading program. And we have a student who has moved back into, or come back to our district. And this is a program that is required for the IEP. Any questions about my action items? I do have one information item that I didn't list here, but I wanted to let you know that we are almost fully staffed for the next school year. We did have an interview today, so it looks like we possibly will have our language filled. What is outstanding still is a special ed position at the high school, and we're looking at Plan B or Plan C or Plan D because it is very difficult right now finding teachers that are good candidates for us, and it's one of those things that the teacher shortage we've been talking about it is coming to fruition here as we're trying to fill. We just recently filled our science positions. Two of those were approved this evening as long-term substitutes, and one was a change from a long-term sub half-year to a long-term sub full-year. That was accomplished because Mr. Sanger was able to rearrange schedules to accommodate the certifications that we could have teach the courses. Science is one of those certifications that's very specific. You get a certification in chemistry, you get a certification in physics. It's not, you know, an all-encompassing kind of certification. And so we really struggled to find people who had the right cert to fill positions. And so just wanted to let you know that we're almost there, but it was very difficult this year to find candidates. They just weren't out there. So.
Are we not? I mean, have you seen like that? There are very few candidates, so they have a lot of options. So they're just picking the highest paying.
Highest paying, the closest to home. One that just seems to fit best with them. The chemistry position specifically, we just couldn't find a chem certified person. So we went and got the LTSs for bio, which were hard to find too, but we went and found those and rearranged schedules. So those of our teachers that have chemistry could teach a chem.
It's not a great scenario at all. We're asking teachers to teach subject areas now that's not their favorite or their most competent area. The teacher shortage has come sooner than I expected. We knew this based on the numbers of graduates a couple of years ago coming out of the teaching programs in the state. But this has been a challenging summer to still have positions open, and it's me versus the superintendent. And to say we rearrange schedules, that's a sentence here. But that's days of work in the high school office. I want you to know that's moving kids' schedules, that's moving teacher schedules. It's a lot of work in the summertime of work that's already been done. So, I do think as we look at this next teacher's contract, that we start looking at ways to incent people to come here and try to overcome some of the barriers that we do have. The fact that we're rural, we're not near too close to entertainment venues for young teachers. We've got to overcome some of those challenges, I think. I think we're an attractive school district. We've got a lot of great things going on for the school district, but when teachers are comparing at very finite levels when everything looks the same, it's only going to take a little bit for them to say, yeah, I'll go here. So it's a new challenge. Somewhat related to this is the tricky sabbatical. A couple of people asked me about the article that was in the paper about Matt Zamperini coaching at Alvernia, I believe it is. Albright. He's doing that in two consecutive falls on a sabbatical from here. That's not our sabbatical, that's the state code. The state code provides a sabbatical by law for teachers, and they may take them in that way. They may break them up. So Matt has chosen to take a fall sabbatical two falls in a row. That makes it difficult for us because now we're looking at an LTS for a half year. So part of the rearrangement was the LTS, we put two LTSs together to make it more attractive. But that's challenging, and there's nothing we can do about that. So a couple folks asked me how he can be out on sabbatical and then go coach. That's why it's not a district-sponsored sabbatical, it's a state code, in case anyone asks. That's about all I have to say about that.
Any questions? That
is my report. Thank you. So then we'll move into management committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of items. I need to add an action item to the agenda. Because of the delay, not really delay, we were doing our due diligence hiring. We didn't get Tom hired in time. So we technically have not started at Columbia Borough. We haven't started our contract. It'll start tomorrow with his hiring. But we need to do, we need to pass a resolution that basically says, I wasn't in charge and Ken Cloudwater was in charge the last 3 weeks. That covers both Ken and me for various reasons. If something was done incorrectly in the last 3 weeks, I would not be held accountable. Likewise, all the things that were done correctly, Ken should get credit for and have the authority to do. He's made a lot of decisions the last 3 weeks as the interim. So it's a simple resolution. The attorney's developing it. I would have it for you tonight, but they didn't get it done yet. So I'll have that for you as an action item. Justin, just because no one has seen it, let's pull that out as a separate item for the agenda. Everything else can be consent. But just pull that out as an action, just in case anyone wants to talk about
it. And that would be effective 8/9.
Yeah, exactly. The dates would be Originally, we were looking at July 19th as the start date for our partnership. But until we got all the pieces in place, we could only do this this evening, so tomorrow, August 9th, will be the first. That's what the resolution will say. A couple of items. You'll notice in the next couple of weeks some farm equipment sitting on our school property. This is a promotional deal for Case New Holland. They've asked permission to use our property. We said, absolutely, no problem. The equipment will be sitting there, no keys. Keith's upset. You know, you take a combine for a spin. It's a promotional item, and that'll be cool. It'll be shiny equipment in the front yard. It's a good thing with New Holland. So the history there goes way back. So that's just an exciting opportunity. I just wanted you to understand why big pieces of equipment will be sitting in front of our classroom, our schools. Many of you know, or had classes even with Stan Dean. He passed away here in the last 2 weeks. There will be a celebration for him in our auditorium this coming weekend, pulled together by some former students and friends. I wanted you to be aware of that. I also wanted you to be aware that there's no expense incurred by the school district. It's a little bit touchy, but we made it clear that there cannot be an expense. We're happy to have a facility open, but all the costs will be assumed privately. That can be a little bit of a difficult conversation because Stan in particular has given so much to the school district, but where do you draw that line? Who decides who gave so much that they get a free service here versus someone else? So there's a precedent. We did have a teacher pass away here a few years ago, and the auditorium was used at that time too. So we're not breaking any rules or making any rules just for this occasion. But I did also want to acknowledge all of the work that Stan Dean has done here, inspired many, many kids, had a long tenure here before going and leaving his fingerprints all over the county and beyond. I expect there'll be scores of people here to honor him for that ceremony coming up. So we're sorry to see Stan go. Stan was still helping behind the scenes at our GSPA shows every year, so still contributing. So it's a sad loss, but a great legacy. So that's Stan.
Yes, I know for those of us that have, I had him over 40 years ago, and I think I was speaking to somebody over the weekend that always stood out to me was that it didn't matter if you were one of the, quote, honor students or you were one of those that just barely got by, he always had time for somebody to sit down and talk to him and always have a word of encouragement and tell them how to strive for a better life.
I've heard it over and over again, Tom. I did not know Stan well. I ran him a couple times when he's here for the rehearsals and the shows, but I've heard many positive comments like that about Stan. So, it's a thrill to have known him and what a heck of a legacy he leaves behind. And I believe that concludes my report. I have no announcements.
Okay. Thank you for that report. Any other questions or comments or things to be brought before the board this evening?
Okay.
Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned, and thanks again for coming out this evening.